If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
The Shamity.
Gimbel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.
First Corinthians said, love conquers all. Jesus didn't take time to argue with the Pharisees. When they came to him, he just asked them questions. Then he went around healing the sick, raising the dead. Jesus didn't stop to argue exegetical thing. They even asked him. They said, the one man said, what's the greatest law in all the word of God? What's the great? Jesus said, just love God and love your neighbor. He didn't go into don't smoke, don't drink, don't go to the movies, don't dance. He didn't do all that. He said, just love God, because I'm going to tell you something. Here's new wine. If you love God, then you won't do those other things. Wives are wondering, how do I hold on to my husband? Love him. Don't fight with him. Love him. Love him. You don't have to go dressing all sexy and slinky and buying all oil and heating it in the microwave and going through all that mess and buying chairs and hanging from the ceiling and buying all this other worldly mess. Just love. Love will turn your enemies around. New wine. So here's what God is saying, Bethel. We need to change. I am becoming painfully aware of my responsibility to be the initiator of change for this church. For I was very uncomfortable challenging people because I just thought, you know what? If people love God, they ought to do what's right. They ought to just feel what I feel. I just don't believe in fighting over the things of God. I'm not going to do it. God said, this is what we're supposed to do. But now I'm realizing that that's not good enough anymore. That the wine is pouring and flowing, and God is moving, and he's answering prayer. This church has positioned itself for dangerous warfare. This church has upset the powers of darkness, whether you know it or not. If I can use an earthly, worldly colloquialism, there is a contract out on this church. And here's why. Not because we're better than anybody else, but because we have collectively decided to seek the glory of God. Do you know the scripture where the disciples come to Jesus and they say, the enemy has sown some tares, and the tares were growing with the wheat? Now, that's hard for us city people because most of us have never seen wheat. Therefore, we don't know what tares are. So most preachers have taken that passage and they messed it up. But if you read it, if you understand the context of that story, the tare must look like wheat. What would be the purpose of the enemy sowing something that can be easily distinguished? So it has to look like wheat. Secondly, it must choke wheat. When that wheat thing is discussed, and Jesus said, no, let them grow together, because if you pull the tares, you're going to inadvertently snatch out some wheat. So apparently, the tare has the same application as that green vine that grows around, that kind of snakes its way through everything, grows across wires and all that other stuff. Ivy. So apparently the tares, when they're sown, you will notice that a tare always seeks to wrap itself around people. It seeks to pull people to them. It seeks to build consensus. The pastor's wrong. Why did he appoint that person? I don't understand why we don't do this anymore. I don't know why this is happening. And then the tear always says, let's just back away and let it fall. This will teach him. But because the tear has been subtle enough to envelop some wheat, Jesus said, no, let them all grow together, because only God can separate wheat and tares. In other words, God will bring that relationship to a place where you will see that the emperor doesn't have any clothes on, that the person you've been following is not worth following because they can't follow the rules of God. And at that point, divorce happens spiritually. If we are to move forward as a congregation, if we are to go forward as children of God, then we must undergo a mind change and a wineskin change. In order for this to be truly realized in our hearts, our lives, and our ministry in general, and our ministry at large, we must apply Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and understand seasons and cycles, and come to the startling realization that my season in a certain thing may be over. Now, how you respond to that revelation will determine if you're a new wineskin. When a ministry reaches its apex, its zenith, its maximum utilization, when a ministry reaches that point and God says, we no longer need that ministry, and you are told that that particular ministry will no longer be needed, your response is indicative of your mindset, whether it's old or new wineskin. If you become adversarial and seek to leave and pull people with you, you're an old wineskin. But Jesus teaches us something. Now, if you watch this here, he says, new wine must be put into new bottles. The Pharisees, immediately upon hearing the revelation of new wine, new wineskins versus old wine and old wineskins, rather than ask for clarification, rather than ask for distinctive realization, they said to Jesus, why do your disciples work on the Sabbath day? Powerful illustration. People who are challenged with new wine revert to old theology. Here are the phrases of old wineskin. I don't care what nobody says. I ain't changing. I don't care what the pastor says. I'm saying what the word of God says, which is, it's almost accusing the pastor of not teaching the Bible anymore. Rather than saying, you know what, maybe my view is wrong, and I've been holding on to a theory that's not biblical, I have flooded my mind with the teachings of other teachers, and I truly, truly am ignorant of what God is trying to reveal. So they hit Jesus with a doctrine. Jesus comes back and says, didn't you read that when David went into the house, he was hungry and he ate the showbread? In other words, there are times when your doctrine must give way to practicality. For example, when I became a Christian, Pentecostal Christians held to Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and they would even demonize the woman and say she was going to hell if she wore pants. No one said, let's examine the history of the text to find out what Moses was addressing. Let's just jump into the literal metaphor pool and extract the dogma to keep control over a segment of the church. Let's tell the woman that she can't wear pants. No one ever thought to discover that nobody was wearing pants. Everybody wore the same flowing garment. The only person it was even suggested that they wear pants was the high priest, and they were called linen breeches, where we get the word breeches. And they were the only ones, because flesh had to be covered in the presence of God. So the leaders of the church said, women are not supposed to wear pants. No one ever thought to discover the purpose for Paul saying that. But some old men decided that we're going to extract this passage and once again keep the woman in bondage. Anything that doesn't set you free brings you into bondage. Old wineskin theology says, grab a passage, build a doctrine, create a dogma, and control the people. I'm telling you, you can no longer talk to Pastor Aaron. I'm telling all of you right in this section, I'm going to have papers put on the back of each chair that say, I don't talk to Pastor Aaron Gray. And Bishop Lambert is saying it. And if you do, I'm going to put you out and forbid anybody else to talk to you. Now that sounds comical. But the reality is there are people who will surrender to that. Pastor said, I shouldn't talk to you. He may go out to preach and tell you on Facebook, Pastor Gray is here, which I wish he wouldn't do because somebody might want to hurt him and find out where he is. And so someone may go with him. I may say, you can't even go with him to support him. He's a prolific writer. He's written a couple of books. I encourage him to write more. Someone may say, I want to buy Pastor Aaron's book. No, you won't. Not till you buy Christian and the Culture. Why should I be threatened by what God is doing in him? That's my brother. When he goes up, I go up. When he's blessed, I'm blessed. When the anointing pours out of him, it's pouring with me. How dare I isolate you from what God is doing in him? Old wineskin theory says create people that are yours.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Here's what he does. He won't get you to sin, but he desensitizes you to holiness. After watching the devil's stuff all week and enjoying it, you cannot come in here and lift your hands and worship God. The Bible said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? They that have clean hands and a pure heart. You'll sit there and say, oh, the praise team ain't moving me. No, no, it's you that are dead to the praises because you've allowed Satan to fill your mind with all manner of ungodliness. You've become the cesspool of the devil. You become ignorant of the devil's devices. He can't take salvation from you, but he can mess up your fellowship.
Be inspired to strengthen your relationship with the Lord and become the leader you were called to be when you read Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. It is Bishop Lambert's desire for believers to recognize the importance of continuing to seek God despite facing the obstacles of today's culture. This encouraging publication will challenge you to reevaluate your life as a follower of Christ and renew your faith in the Lord. Visit Amazon.com or ChristianandTheCulture.com to purchase your copy of this compelling writing from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. For more information, call 215-885-2585.